If you've got your Bible, I'm going to eventually get to Galatians 5, but it might take me a while to get there. I may not even get there, who knows? At the beginning of the year, we often spend quite a bit of time as leaders thinking about and praying. In fact, it probably started last year. We started thinking about what's this year about and what's our vision for the church. And in some ways, the vision doesn't change. It's the same thing, but there comes over time things that the Holy Spirit just, I suppose, highlights. And, you know, when anybody talks about vision, for me, it's always about what I see. What I see. And if you said to me, well, what do you see for the church? What do you see when you look? And I close my eyes, I go, what do I see? What do I see? God, what do you want to show me? What do I see? And one of the things I keep getting a picture of in our church, and this is not specifically just here, church is when we all get together. So whether we're in coast or north or here, when we get together, what I see is an oasis of life. I see a spring of life. I see just this picture of amazing light and love, which is what I want the church to be. I don't actually see buildings. I know at times buildings great, but it's the love in people that I see. What do you see when you look at church? When someone says to you about church, whatever church you've been to or whatever church you're a part of, or when they talk about church, what do you see? Do you see a building or do you see people? Because a church is made of the people. All the people in the church represent the church. It's the people. I see people that are an oasis, a spring of life. I see people in a dry, weary place, refreshing people. So that's not confined to these four walls. Well, actually, there's more than four. I think there's 16. It's not confined to that. It's everywhere you go. You carry an oasis of life. That's my picture of the church. The picture of you walking into your workplace and being full of life. That people want to talk to you just because when they talk to you, they feel life. One of the things we've felt this year, it's about establishing. And to be established is to have a firm and strong base. And I want Christians that are established. They're strong. They're not floating around everywhere, one thing or another, changeable and all their mind. No, they're strong in their faith and what they believe. In Psalm 90, verse 70, it says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I want God to establish you. I want you to be strong and mature. Mature is somebody that knows what to do without being told what to do. Immature is someone who doesn't know what to do, therefore needs to be told what to do. It's kids, isn't it? You just have to tell them everything all the time. But your hope is when they get to be adults, you won't need to tell them, they'll just know. They'll be mature in their faith, mature in what they do. I'm very conscious in building church that we can all get really busy about doing things. And I often come back to, unless God builds the house, we're laboring in vain. Do you know what? I think I've done a lot of things where I've built not necessarily what God wanted me to build. And I've just been busy doing stuff. And I think a lot of us in our life can be busy doing stuff. Psalm 127 says this, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. At the moment, I'm building it. Well, I've just built a retaining wall. I know, you're impressed. It's 700, so it's not very high. I had to build the retaining wall because my last retaining wall that I built was in the wrong place. I know you thought it was going to fall over. It was in the wrong place. I needed more room. So I had to, and as I was, well, actually, as I was trying to break down my last retaining wall, in the end, I got a bit lazy because I couldn't pull the posts out, so I just cut them off at the bottom, which, it doesn't matter, it was just going to be, but here's the thought. Imagine building a retaining wall and then someone saying to you, it's in the wrong place. What a waste of energy. I know it's hard work because I had to dig all the holes by hand. I asked some people to help me in the family, but they couldn't do it. They gave up. But I endured. True. Here's the thing. What a waste to build your life on something that's not worth it. What a frustrating waste. Same with church. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do you no good. It won't do you any good to put all the guards around things in your life unless God protects what you have. Unless God does it. Verse 2, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for it's God who gives rest to his loved ones. And one of the things I've held on my heart this year is about doing less but doing more. So what is that? Doing, not doing for the sake of doing, but doing more in the sake of saying, God, what do you want me to do? So that what I do has more value. And same for us in church. I want us to do what has more value. What value? Why are we doing Kids Go Wild this afternoon out at Omokoroa? Why? Because we just want to bless the community. We want to do something that sows into people. A lot of people got strange ideas about the church because they see it as buildings or they've met a Christian that maybe they've wondered about. And now you're all smiling. You all know what I mean, don't you? Yeah, here we are. We want to be the church that, hey, we're normal people, but we love people. When I look at God's house, I want it to be a place full of his love. What does that mean, full of his love? It's not wishy-washy. You know, if I think about the love that would cause a man to go to war, or a woman to go to war to protect their family, that's not wussy. That's a pretty. If I think about love that would give their life for somebody, that's not wussy. It's the love that looks at people and goes, you know, your life's more important than mine. I'll die to myself for your sake. You know, the test for our church is not about how loved am I. That's not the test about a church of love. The test of the church about love is how much I love. You know, often we walk into a place, well, how much did I give? No, it's how much did you give? The love in this church will increase as you love more, as I love more. It's actually in our hands. The more we love people, the more love will be in the church. The more we decide, man, I'm going to do something for someone. The more led by the Holy Spirit we are, the more the love will flow in church. It should just flow out of us. It should just flow. My picture with God is a lot of things just flow. They just flow out of us. Love should just flow out of us. You can hear it in our words. You can hear it in the way we talk to people. We love people. I want to live a life that's prompted by the Holy Spirit. You know, because you can work away doing a whole lot of stuff, but you can get one thing from the Word of God for somebody and it'll change their lives. One word. So here's my question. Do you love people? Do you? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love people? I like my scales. It's a pretty hard one to do, though, isn't it? Well, I love some people. Some people I love. others. And they're in the church too. How much do you love me? Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Peter sort of, yeah, God, I love you. And then he said, feed my lambs. Oh, do you love me? Jesus asked that question, do you love me? What would your answer be if he asked you, do you love him? Oh, yeah, I think I do. So one of our, I suppose, what we've been doing a little bit is just trying to get things a little bit sharper. And in doing that process for the church, we've ended up going back to even some things that I think have been in our church over 20, 30 years. Some of our values, we've sort of gone back to, hey, this is what we are. And just to refresh, and I'm only going to take 5 minutes on this, I just wanted to just go, what is our vision as a church? And our first thing is we want to save souls. We want to see people get to know God. You know, we want them to choose Jesus. We want to be a guide to, hey, you need to choose Jesus. Jesus is the answer. I'm not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Yeah. We want people to be saved. We want people to be discipled. We want to disciple believers. In fact, that's the main command of Christ, was to go make disciples. So to be a disciple, you've got to be discipled. And I always think we're in two places. I'm being discipled by somebody and I'm discipling someone. And I'm not a disciple until I'm discipling someone. To just receive in is not enough. It's only part way there. In fact, the best discipling of myself is when I'm discipling somebody else. There's something about what happens when I start discipling someone else that helps me grow in my faith. You know, and for us, we want people to get connected. I want you to be connected in church, connected to people. We do connect groups. Why is that? Because we want people to be connected. Too many people are trying to do life by themselves. We know that probably one of the highest things for people's lives is they're lonely. Yeah. With thousands of people all around, with all this social media, people are lonely. We want people to get connected, find a place where they get connected. And then we want to train leaders because we want to make a difference in the whole world. We want to make a difference. I want you to make a difference in what you're doing. That's that quality stuff that we build. It's stuff that makes a difference. It's not what I have, it's what I've done with what I have. And so we've then got our values that we go, this is what we value in church. So we've got those three things we're trying to do. And what do we value? The first thing we value is I want people to be passionate about God. I think a little bit of times we're a bit blasé. One of my challenges to me personally is that often in a church where we see Jesus as our friend, our buddy, we can lose our reverence and our respect for God. And it's not one or the other, it's both. But I want you to be passionate about God. Would someone look at you and go, you're passionate? If they were to assess your life, what would they say you're most passionate about? Rugby? Yeah, that, mate, you watch them, man, when they get into rugby, man, they get really passionate. How many of you change when you're in front of that TV watching rugby or whatever sport it is that you watch? What are you passionate about? I want people to be passionate about God. I want you to be passionate about God, passionate about your relationship with God. I can tell what you're passionate about by what you talk about. So if you talk about everything except God, then I go, well, how passionate are you? It is a test. But we need to be passionate about God. Passion is I love the word. I'm passionate. That's why I wore this shirt today. Because I wanted you to sort of get dazzled. But I want you to be passionate. How passionate are you about God? If you had to assess it, here we go, out of 10, because out of 10's. Okay, let's make it out of 11 then, just to be different. How passionate about God are you? Is it your whole life or is it a part of your life? Are you passionate when you come to church on Sunday and then the rest of the time you're not? How passionate are you? You know, there's energy in passion. So I said, how much energy do you have about God? Does it energize you when you start thinking about him? Do you get, oh man, I just love being in God's presence. I get excited. Are you as excited about going to church as you are to going to a concert? Of whoever's that is. Do you get, oh, I'm excited because I'm passionate about God. We want people to be willing to grow. I think one of the main enemies of people and one of the main reasons people become stale in their Christian walk is they stop growing. Are you growing? Are you changed? Is there something different you're doing in your life this year that you weren't doing last year? Are you as passionate about God now as you were a year ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago? Are you growing? Do you know more about God? Is your faith stronger? Are you growing? Out of 10. Are you growing? Are you generous in life? You know, if we want to be a generous church, we've got to be generous people. The generosity of the church is based on the generosity of the people. So when I think of generous, I think of a wide thing. Are you generous in your words? Are you generous in your encouragement? Because all these things, if they're values, that's what we are. So Alan is passionate about God. Alan is willing to grow. He doesn't think he's arrived. He's willing to grow. Alan's generous with his love, generous with his time, generous. Do people look at you and go, you're generous? Or do they look at you and go, oh, they're quite stingy? I hope not. Committed to serve. I have a view that everyone should serve because serving is one of the best things for you. It actually benefits you to serve, to do something that you just do to serve the community. It not only connects you, but it gives something. Are you serving? Often people get frustrated with church because they're not serving. But when you start serving, you go, hey, this is I'm making it work. I'm making a difference. I'm serving. If you're not on a roster doing something, if you're not serving, and maybe you haven't found where you fit, find where you fit. Go, where can I serve? Where can I do something that'll make a difference? We all need to be serving. In our house, everyone has to do the chores. I mow the lawns. Now and again, I've paid kids to do it. But. What do you do the dishes? How many people do the dishes at home? Okay, how many people put the dishes in the dishwasher? Okay. We've all got to do them. No matter who you are, you've all got chores at home. Put the rubbish out. Empty the rubbish bins. Do the gardening. I don't do the gardening. I don't like gardening. Water the garden. I water the garden now and again. When you're allowed, between those hours. I don't do it in those wrong hours. We've all got it. At home, a home doesn't work. And sometimes it's a bit unfair because one person in your home does all the work. That's not the way it should be. We should all be pulling our weight. Makes a difference when everybody's doing something. Jess just told a joke over there, didn't you, Jess? Faithful in prayer. I love this. Those first four are ones that we used to have around the church. How many people remember the ones that we had on the church? That's a long time ago. But faithful in prayer. I think our church has changed because people have prayed more. In the last year or two, I think having the prayer room has been a catalyst for it, but I think people are praying more. And we're seeing more answers to prayer because we're praying more. But we've got to be faithful in prayer. Faithful, continually believing in faith, continually being faithful in prayer. We've got to love to connect. How connected are you? How connected are you? How many people do you know in church? How connected are you? We've got to love to connect. Connect does something. Connect, when you connect, you help others connect. When you don't connect, then other people don't connect. There are certain people that only you connect with. And we need you to connect so that they connect. Led by the Spirit. One of our values is to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to talk more about that because that's the one that I feel is, for me, is a big emphasis this year. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. If I want to do things that are of value, then I've got to be listening to the Holy Spirit. I've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Are you led by the Holy Spirit? Do you hear that voice of the Holy Spirit and follow it? And then we want to be outward and focused. We don't want to be about ourselves. We want to be about changing the community, changing the nation, changing the world. We want to make a difference. Put your hand up if you want to make a difference. We want to make a difference. So this morning, I just want to focus on that being led by the Holy Spirit. And I just want us to read Galatians 5. And I'm just going to bring out some thoughts in Galatians 5. So if you've got your Bible, you can turn there. You know, in this verse, it's this passage of Scripture. You can go to the first one there. This passage of Scripture, for me, is all about focus. You know, you can focus on what I shouldn't do, or you can focus on what I should do. And this verse is all, well, these set of verses is all about deciding to focusing on what I should do more than focusing on what I shouldn't do. The law is all about the things you shouldn't do. Ten Commandments, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. That's a focus on what not to do. But I feel being led by the Holy Spirit is a focus on what you should do. If you're concentrating on what you should do, you don't have to worry about what you shouldn't do. But if you're concentrating on what you shouldn't do, then that's what you end up doing. Or you end up looking at everybody else of, they shouldn't do that. Why is the church at times so full of judgment? Because we're looking at what everybody shouldn't be doing. They shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be wearing that. They shouldn't be doing that. What are they doing that for? Instead of focusing on what we should be doing, which has been led by the Holy Spirit. One is the way of the law, and one is the way of the Spirit. And life is really easy for you when you're focusing on being led by the Holy Spirit. So let's read it. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." So you have a choice on who guides your life. You're either guiding it or the Holy Spirit's guiding it. There's this control thing that you've got to give up. Now, Holy Spirit, I want you to guide my life today. And it's a constant process of saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Do you know, the more I listen, the more I hear. The less I listen, the less I hear. That makes sense, doesn't it? So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. We've all got a sinful nature. A sinful nature that craves basically looking after ourselves and pleasing ourselves. We've all got this nature within us that wants to do what's good, what we think is good for us. And the whole thing about living a Christian walk is dying to self and saying, God, I give you my life. It's not just a great song, it's a God, I give you my life. Lord, I want to be led by your Holy Spirit. We have to let the Holy Spirit guide us. Do you let the Holy Spirit guide you? To let him guide you, you've got to let go of some of the things that you want to do. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. It's this heart decision that, God, I want to be led by your Spirit. I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to focus on doing what you want me to do. And while you're doing that, you won't be doing anything else. Trust him to guide you. You know, if you've got a guide, one of the questions that I heard someone say this week, are you a signpost or a guide? There's a big difference between just being a signpost and being a guide. If you go on a tour with a guide, the guide explains everything. This week, we got to go to Pearl Harbor, which is pretty amazing. And it was fine to get a sign to where to go there, but to have someone explain what happened, that 2,500 people lost their lives, that just to go through with all these amazing things that just, you know, just, wow, this was pretty huge. This was pretty incredible. Something like 33 ships sunk. Do you know that just about all of them, they raised back up and for the first time and were able to reuse them, which was quite fascinating. But when you go with a guide, you get a lot more details. You get a lot more things. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to be in our lives, a guide for everything. Not just for the church things, not just for spiritual things, a guide for every part of your life. And to have that guide, you've just got to stop and listen. I think too often we're reactionary. Too often we try and go too fast. So for me, this year, it's all about going, well, Holy Spirit, I just want to take time to hear you. And look, sometimes it's as much as just getting that still peace. Have I got a peace about doing this? Katie was saying the other week, listening to their podcast out at North, about listening to the voice of God. But she says, you know, she knows Andre so well that when Andre just has to say hello on the phone, she knows it's him. You know, which just blows me away. All our voices are completely different. You can hear someone's voice and you go, I know who that is. That's quite fascinating, isn't it? Oh, that just blows me away how amazing God is. But do you hear God's voice? The reason Katie knows it's Andre's voice is she's been listening to him go on and on and on for a long time. But she's used to hearing his voice. It sticks out. She knows just by, and it's the same for you. You know certain people just like that. You hear the voice, oh yeah, I know who that is. Are you the same with God? Can you just hear his voice? And I think it's something you've got to develop, hearing your voice. God, and it's just a pause in your day going, God, are you happy with this? Am I in the right place here? God, I need your help here. God, I need you. Because God wants to be involved in our lives. God wants to be involved in every part of your life. Your financial decisions, your workplace problems, your school problems. He wants to be involved. And it's just taking a moment saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want? We want to be Spirit-led. We want to live an active life of being Spirit-led. It's taking a moment to stop and ask for directions. I know some of you guys aren't very good at that. You don't want to ask for directions. How many men actually have problems asking for directions? Oh, you're not even going to put your hands up. There's more of you out there than that. You know, sometimes we're the same with God. Oh, I'm not going to ask God. Sometimes we're scared what he's going to say. You know how you already know that answer? You already know what the answer's going to be. It's like when one parent says, go ask your mother, and you think, I know what mum's going to say. I don't want to go ask mum. That's why I came and asked you. Yeah, ask God, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do here? So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. Concentrate on doing what he wants to do. For me, that's the answer to overcoming sin. It's just focusing on the positive of going, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Verse 17, the sinful nature wants to do evil. You know, don't underestimate your sinful nature. And, you know, I think some of us go, oh, sin, oh, that's all the naughty things you do. But, you know, one of the hard sins in the Bible is the sin of omission, where you don't do what you're supposed to do. Don't underestimate yourself. The sinful nature wants to do what's evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation of the law of Moses. So when you're directed by the Holy Spirit, when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're no longer under the law. I don't know what it is about us, but we like rules. I'm forever asked, oh, so what's the church's rule on this? And I keep going, there is none. Why? Because if we're focusing this way, then it's about being led by the Holy Spirit. But we like rules. But rules are what cause you not to be free. Yes, a lot of them, they make sense and they're very wise and they're right. But if you focus on the rules, you will always feel hemmed in. But if you focus on the freedom you have in the Holy Spirit. See, this is why this whole Galatians, this letter to the Galatians, was the Galatians have become very legalistic. And all of us have this constant pull where we want to go legalistic. I don't know why it is. We want to go legalistic when we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want you to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's so much freer. Verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So these things aren't good, that's for sure. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. What's that? Love. It's a strong love. It's agape. It's compassionate devotion to the well-being of others. Great definition of it. Have you got a compassionate devotion to the well-being of others? That's what love is. That's the fruit of following the Holy Spirit. When you're following the Holy Spirit, you're going, God, I want to love people. It's full of joy. Joy is an emotional excitement, gladness, passion, enthusiasm for life. I do look at a lot of Christians and I go, I don't think they have the fruit of joy in their lives. And I think they've been ripped off. The more we live in the Spirit, man, we're full of joy. We're excited about life. It flows out of us. This is the river that I'm talking about. It flows out of you. Your fruit of the Spirit flows out of you. Peace, a state of quietness, rest, harmony, order, and security in the midst of turmoil, strife, and temptations. What a great way to be, that wherever you walk, no matter what's happening, there's a peace on you. Do people look at you and go, man, I don't. You're in the middle of some of the biggest wars and there's a peace on you. Do people feel that peace? You see, when everybody walked with Jesus, they felt everything. I'm sure when people were walking with Jesus, they felt more joy than they'd ever had in their lives. I mean, you've got to see that the crowd following Jesus would have been a pretty excited crowd. You've got a couple of people there that were blind and now could see. Yeah. They were going to be going, whoa, look at that. Wow, this is amazing. Around Jesus, you would feel peace. Do people, when they come around you, feel the fruit of the Spirit? Do they feel peace? Or do you make them feel anxious? Do you make them feel depressed? Unhappy? Or do you make them feel, man, I go away feeling fed by that person. Joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. Patient endurance to bear long with frailties, offenses, injuries, without reacting, murmuring, backbiting, or holding a grudge. That's what this patience is, long-suffering. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You can bear a lot more when you've got the fruit of the Holy Spirit happening in your life. Kindness. It's a gentleness. You can start playing. That'd be great. That'd be good. Soft-spoken, kind, even-tempered, cultured, refined in character and conduct. Goodness, the state of being good, kind, even-tempered, oh, I've already said that one, virtuous, generous, faithfulness. Have you got faith? That's living divinely implanted, acquired and created principle of inward and wholehearted, confident assurance, trust, reliance in all that God says. That's what faithful is. You trust what God says. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You can see why the more we have the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, the easier it is to do life. Gentleness, meekness, self-control. Are you struggling with self-control? Instead of putting the rules around you to do self-control, why don't you just say, Holy Spirit, can you help me? I'm just going to listen to you with my life. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let's not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. How are you going? Are you living by being led by the Holy Spirit? This church would be a totally different place if all of us are living by the Holy Spirit. I think we're on the go. We're getting there. There's always going to be something. That's why we're willing to grow. Close your eyes for a moment. Father, I pray you give each one here a vision of what it is to be full of life. Lord, we want to be full of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we do ask you to forgive us when we've gone our own way and done our own thing. Lord, I pray that you can just continually speak to us. That, Lord, we'd listen to that small voice when it prompts us to do something. You know, this week as you're walking around life here and you take a moment, God's going to prompt you to do something. It might be to send a text to someone. It might even be to buy a gift. It might be to do something. As you do it, I believe you'll just sense a closeness to God. You'll feel closer to God than you've ever been. God wants you to make a difference. While everyone's got their eyes closed, every Sunday we want people to get to know Jesus, to choose Jesus. I don't know what your belief in God is or where you're at with God, but I can tell you that God's alive. God created the whole world. It's too complicated for it to have just to appear. And he sent his son Jesus, who died on the cross to pay for our sins. It was our sins that separated us from God, stopped us being able to connect and be in a relationship with God. And by Jesus coming and dying on the cross, he paid the price for our sins. And so we come to Jesus and we say, Jesus, please forgive me of our sins. And as soon as we do that, we can connect with God. God's known you all your life. He's watched you. He's loved you. Even when you've turned your back on him, he's still interested in you. And he wants you to know him. In fact, there's people here, God's been trying to get your attention for a long time. There's been little things that have happened. You thought, man, it's God trying to get your attention. And at some stage, you just got to respond. Maybe today you go, God, I want to respond to you. And we respond by praying, by saying, God, please forgive me of my sins and come into my life. And I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and I'd like us all to pray it. And it might be for you the first time you've prayed it. And you just pray it, asking God to come into your life. But I'm going to ask everybody to pray. Maybe you've prayed it 100 times. But today I want you to think of somebody you know that you get to pray this prayer with. Someone you're believing that you'll get the opportunity to lead them in this prayer as we pray. So everybody close their eyes and let's pray. Just repeat after me. Dear God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of all the wrong things I've done. Please come into my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Please make me right with you. Come into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray that, Lord, you touch each person here. Lord, I pray you would help us all to listen to your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to listen to your Holy Spirit. Lord, for those who feel that at times they can't hear you, Lord, I pray over this week just as they listen and they take time that they begin to hear your voice speaking to them and guiding them. Father, I pray you'd give us faith to make the decisions to do the right thing, to step in the right way. Guide us, Lord. Guide us, we pray. And help us to be a place where life flows. Some of you this week, you're going to have the opportunity to pray for someone. Step out in faith. You might have never done it before. Someone will say they have a need and you just say, can I pray for that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Amen. Amen.